Good morning and welcome to the MPO's Transportation Technical Advisor Committee. We're here in Harvett Hall, Tuesday, January 20th at 10:30. I will recognize any alternates that are here today, but I don't see any. Is that accurate? Yep, no alternates. So looking to consider approval of the meeting minutes from November 4th, if we have a motion.
So moved.
Second. There's a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on to agenda item number two, public discussion of any item that's not on the agenda. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share that's not on the agenda? Seeing none, moving on to agenda item number three, consider recommendation to the MPO JC Urbanized Area Policy Board regarding Federal Transit Administration Section 5307, Transit Operating Formula Funding Apportionment. Morning, Hannah.
Good morning. Okay, wait. Sorry. Can you all hear me? I can just talk loud. Does that work?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Good morning. Hannah Neal, Associate Transportation Planner. Today, we are asking for a recommendation to the Policy Board regarding the apportionment of FTA Section 5307 operating funds. Iowa DOT has indicated that MPOJC has a total of $5,046,582 available in FY25 5307 funding. This amount includes small transit intensive communities or STIC funding. For more than 10 years, the MPO used the same local formula to distribute these funds based on prior year transit statistics from each of our three transit agencies. The MPO's local formula was calculated based on operating and maintenance costs, locally determined income, revenue miles, and fare revenue. Prior to going fare-free on August 1st, 2023, Iowa City Transit requested a review of this formula. It should also be noted that CAN bus does not charge a fare and has never received credit for the fare revenue portion of the formula. Although the percentage allocation to each of the transit systems has fluctuated over time, a review of past allocations shows that year-over-year changes were small. After discussions with each of the three transit agencies, a consensus was reached to adopt a fixed percentage-based allocation, starting with FY23 allocations and extending through FY27 based on historical average, and to review those percentages if and when there are major changes to any of our systems or as requested. At their July 11th, 2023 meeting, the Policy Board approved the following fixed percentages to apportion our FTA 5307 funds. Corville Transit receives 16.1%, Iowa City Transit receives 60.5%, and CAN bus receives the remaining 23.4%. The Section 5307 funds can be used for transit operating and capital expenses. The table in your packet in my first memo shows the FY24 total apportionment and the FY25 proposed apportionment. Once approved, the MPO will complete and submit the required annual FTA 5307 applications on behalf of each transit system. The proposed FY25 apportionments for Coralville Transit is $812,500. $3,053,182 for Iowa City Transit, and $1,180,900 for CAN bus. So again, today we are asking for a recommendation to the Policy Board regarding the apportionment of these 5307 funds. Please let me know if you have any questions.
I was just gonna say, the good news is this number seems to keep going up despite some of the craziness and the federal funding that we're all experiencing. And then the only thing I was going to add to Hannah's statements were, I believe this is the third year we've used the average of the prior 10 years rather than using the old formula. Seems like it's working for everyone. We haven't heard any complaints other than more money is always good. So happy to have any discussion you all might have.
Do we have any forecasts for what the next legislation will look like?
I don't think I've heard anything, which is probably good news at this point.
Move approval.
Second. Any further discussion? Yeah, no forecasts that I'm aware of. I don't think we've really heard much from the FTA at all at this point, so.
Do we have one more year in the legislation, or is this the last year of our current legislation?
We would have two more years technically, because we're a year behind in funding, yeah. Good questions. Any other discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Motion carries, thank you. Moving on to the next agenda item, agenda item number four, excuse me, consider recommendation to the MPOJC Policy Board regarding an amendment to the adopted FY26 to 29 Transportation Improvement Program to include a new project for fiscal year 2026.
All right, as a reminder, the TIP is a programming document for all surface transportation projects that receive state or federal funds, including street and highway, transit, rail, bike, and pedestrian projects in the Iowa City urbanized area. MPOJC submits the TIP annually to the Iowa DOT to document the status of local transportation projects using these state and federal funds. And in order to utilize these funds, projects must be in the TIP with accurate scope and funding source. The Iowa DOT has requested an amendment to include a new project in FY26, the Iowa National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure, or NEVI, program implementation at various locations. The total project cost is $1,713,058, with a federal share of $1,334,292. And as a bit more background on NEVI, Iowa DOT awarded over $16.2 million to install 28 new electric vehicle fast charging stations along Iowa's interstates. This funding for EV chargers comes from, or is NEVI funding, that provides dedicated funding to construct EV charging infrastructure and supports the acquisition, installation, operation, and maintenance of EV charging infrastructure sites. The selected sites are no more than 1 mile from an interstate and will include a minimum of 4 charging ports, providing continuous charging of at least 150 kilowatts of power per port concurrently. So how does this apply to us? There are 2 sites receiving NEVI funding in the Iowa City metro area. There's one over at the Highlander Hotel in Iowa City, and then the other one is at a Quick Star in North Liberty. So DOT asked us to put this project in so that they can use those funds. So today staff is requesting a recommendation to the policy board for approval of the proposed amendment. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, we hadn't heard a lot about this until just recently, and the DOT asked us to fast-track this through. It's a good thing, good problem to have for us, so we'll get this on the current TIP, so it's an amendment. Our new TIP will be approved by the board in July.
Where's the other funding coming from? This
$378,000?
Local funds, I think. I think it's the state funds.
Yep, it's
from the state.
Yeah.
It's other, so anything that's not the...
Yeah, not actual...
Not the NEVI programming and not local match.
That's a good question.
I haven't followed the Highlander much other than I saw that they filed for Chapter 11. So do you know what's going on up there or what will happen if that...
I don't. I saw the same thing and had the same question. And in fact, that article in the paper, I think, came out just a few weeks after they asked us to fast-track this through. So I assume it's to the site, not the owner, but I don't know that to be true, Troy. So,
and if that doesn't continue as a hotel, is that something that we can relocate and still be within project?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
The awardee is Francis Energy, so I think it's more tied to Francis Energy, and then the Highlander Hotel is just the location of where it's at. But to your further questions, I'm not sure.
Okay. But if the hotel doesn't exist, what's there and will it be useful is a good question.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys know, are they hoping to get this installed this year?
I don't know about the install. They want to bid it quickly, I think, and get the project moving, which is why they asked us to put it here, but I don't know when they'll actually start it. Yeah, this came out of kind of left field for us. Any other questions? Motion to approve?
So moved.
There's a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Motion passes. Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next agenda item. I should mention, Troy, we will ask those questions too, just for our own information.
But it doesn't look like there's a local contribution, so at most, we just come to the depositor.
I would think that's true, yep. Agenda item number 5 is consider recommendation to the MPOJC Policy Board regarding appointment of a representative to the Statewide Urban Design and Specifications, or SUDAS, Board of Directors. I think many of you, or most of you all, have been around long enough to remember that every other year we are asked to appoint a representative to the SUDAS board. SUDAS is a nonprofit organization which maintains our Iowa Manuals for Public Improvement design standards and specifications, including sanitary sewer, sidewalks, utility locations, drainage, erosion, and a host of other things. SUDAS is managed by Iowa State University's Institute for Transportation. Our own Scott Larson has been our current representative and served on the SUDAS board since 2005, I think, Scott, is what I have on here. Scott currently serves as the SUDAS board president, but will step down this spring. Is that right as well?
Correct.
Yeah. Scott has indicated his willingness and desire to continue to represent the MPO, if you would all like him to. What we'd like from you today is that you just consider recommendation to the Urbanized Area Policy Board regarding the appointment. The only requirement for this appointment, whether it be Scott or anyone else in the room, is that you are a professional engineer working for one of our entities. And happy to answer any questions you might have or ask Scott any questions you might have.
Thanks for doing this, Scott.
Yeah. I'd support the continuity if you're willing to continue. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And others sit on the SUDAS board as well. They're just Jason is, but not as the MPO representative, obviously. Yeah, you're the city's representative. Is that how that works?
Different organization.
Gotcha. Okay. Motion for recommendation? Second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Scott, I will let the SUDAS folks know.
Okay,
thanks for your help and thanks for your continued representation. Moving on to agenda item number 6, an update on the MPO FY27 Transportation Planning Work Program and FY27 to 30 Transportation Improvement Program schedules. Quickly, just the first update is on our work program. I think most of you know our work program is developed each year to identify projects that will be addressed by the MPO the following fiscal year. The work program is developed in a coordinated effort with this group, the Urbanized Area Policy Board, as well as the Iowa DOT. Our annual work program includes all items for state and federally required planning processes, ongoing and routine projects that we have, and then, of course, any special projects that you all ask us to work on. We will begin soliciting for work program items like we do every year in February, and you all can expect an email from me probably the first week in February. But if you have any special projects in mind between now and then, feel free to reach out to any of our staff, and we'd be happy to discuss those with you. And then the work program, the draft, must be submitted to the DOT, the FDA, and the FHWA by April 1st, and then the board will approve the final work program in June. So you will all see this one more time once we get projects and get those in front of you for your final approval. Any questions about the work program? The second quick update is on the TIP. We already talked about this a little bit in a previous agenda item that Hannah covered. The TIP is the programming document for federally funded transportation improvement projects within the Iowa City urbanized area for all modes of transportation, streets, highways, transit, bicycle and pedestrian projects. And like we discussed, the importance of the TIP is that it formalizes those projects that have federal funding in them and the proper year by which those funds have been programmed. Last spring, the Urbanized Area Policy Board, through a recommendation from this committee, allocated approximately $10.4 million in surface transportation block grant funds, $2.1 million in transportation alternative program funds, and $3.1 million in carbon reduction program funds, which will be reflected in the upcoming TIP. So, because we only go through our funding process every other year, any of those projects that receive funding in FY30 would not have shown up in the last TIP because it only goes through 29, but those projects will now be included in the FY30 TIP, the biggest of which was the Burlington Street Bridge project received the bulk of that $10.4 million. So those projects will be included this year. And then we'll be working with all of your staffs and your folks to make sure that we've got everything buttoned up right. And then in July, the Urbanized Area Policy Board will consider approval of the TIP for adoption. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you all might have about the TIP or the work program. Okay. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item number 7, another other business. We do have just a couple, two or three different things to discuss that didn't rise the level of having a memo in the packet. The first is seating of a new regional trails and bicycling committee representative. Sarah, you want to give a quick update?
Yeah. So at the January 13th meeting of the RTBC, we approved three bicycle groups that will have representation. Matt Berkey will be representing from Bike Iowa City, Audrey Wiedemeyer from the Iowa City Bike Library, and Mark Wohl from Bicyclists of Iowa City. The RTBC also nominated and approved Matt Berkey to serve as the RTBC representative to TAC. He could not be here today, but he has regularly attended these meetings at Urbanized Area Policy Board meetings. He is a local bicycle ambassador for Bike Iowa City and so is involved with a diverse group of bicyclists and bicycling events, so I think he'll be a great representative. And as you know, we've been without a representative since Bob Oppinger passed away in late 2023. I also wanted to update you briefly on the SS4A process. On January 27th, their HDR, Kent and I will be attending an equity meeting that is engaging representatives of organizations that serve underrepresented folks or folks that face special challenges, so low-income populations, non-English speakers, people with disabilities, kind of to get some additional input from them. Meanwhile, HDR is finishing up its data analysis on the high collision network, and we'll be reporting on that in March. And a public open house revealing that information to the public will be scheduled in April, and then there'll be some additional input meetings in May and June, one of which will be in Coralville, and the other one will be associated with Bicycle Month. And on the issue of, did you have something, Kent?
I was just gonna say, so there might be a few new faces in the room. So the SS4A is the Safe Streets and Roads for All program. And just a reminder, we received, the metro area received a $300,000 grant towards that project. Sarah mentioned HDR is the consultant that's working on that for us and doing a nice job. And then the local match, the $75,000 20% local match was split amongst the communities. So like Sarah said, they're working diligently on the plan, and the draft should be done sometime midsummer-ish. So, but we've been happy with the work they're doing.
And for anyone who might not have heard, the DOT reported that in 2025 we had the lowest number, the state had the lowest number of runway fatalities in 100 years. Hard to believe. And within the MPO boundary, there were zero fatalities of any kind, traffic related. That's bike, ped, vehicle, and our serious injuries were down 29%. So there was an interesting NPR, IPR, river to river discussion with the DOT about all the things they're doing, you know, out on highways and interstates and things like that. Great news.
Yeah, and in recent memory, I don't think we've had zero as an MPO in a number of years as well,
yeah,
for fatalities.
We never have a terribly high number, like it's usually 6 or lower, and some of those sometimes are on the interstate. I should say that the 29% reduction in serious injury was over 2024, so 2025 compared to 2024, and 2024 was a bad year.
So that's good news, and in no small part due to a lot of the work everybody's in this room. So keep up the good work, and we'll try and keep people safe. Thanks, Sarah. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, and then another quick update. We've been working on our long-range transportation plan, which I think everyone knows, and we were just going to hit a few of the high points.
So our long-range transportation plan update, we're calling 2055, or Connect 2055. So we are getting ready to launch our public participation in a couple weeks, which will include photo voice photo voice survey, as well as a few other surveys. We also have a few meetings scheduled or about to be scheduled with a few various community groups to kind of talk about who we are, what we're doing, what the LRTP is, things like that. And we are also, as staff, kind of working on our chapters, getting those updated, and we'll have those to give to you way later down the line as they're done. But yeah, that's the short and sweet of it.
So from here on out, through May of 2027, you can expect to see periodic updates on the long range plan. And then we'll be, as the chapters roll out in the next 2 to 3, 4 months, we'll start getting that draft material to you all for your review and your expertise. We've got a short agenda today, so let's go around the room quick if everybody's got time and give some quick updates. Josiah, anything from North Liberty?
Yeah, a couple items. We just recently bid for Evergreen Road and Jasper Avenue roundabout project over where all the communities meet. Bids came in well. That's scheduled to be awarded at the end of this month. Construction on that would start this spring during the construction season, with substantial completion by the end of the fall. So as a reminder, that's a 2x1 roundabout there with 2 lanes in each direction, east and west, and 1 going north-south. So
our bid came in like $1 million under, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
A lot of bids clumped together under the estimate. So that, similar project where the communities are meeting each other for Evergreen Road extension, phase one of that. We're looking to bid that in May through the DOT this year. Phase one does a little bit of work on each end of the Fred Green Road extension by the 12th Street roundabout and First Avenue. That'd be construction this year and a little bit next year, but not a lot of impact to traffic. I guess I should point out Fred Green Road and Jasper, that roundabout, that's going to be phased to maintain traffic east-west and into the Quick Star there, so that won't completely shut down, but it'll be construction. So
you'll have some trail connected with the roundabout, and then subsequent years we've got funding to finish up trails through that, so that'll be nice.
Then the last one, I think Ranshaw Way phase 6, that last phase of Ranshaw to connect down to Forever Green, that's still on schedule for construction in 2027.
Great. Ron?
Just 2 project updates. So our Court Street project, which is a reconstruction of Court Street from Muscatine to First Avenue, is we'll be going into our second year of construction. The first year was kind of a slow start, so we're a little behind schedule on that one, but hoping to make up some time here this next construction season. We are opening the road today, as of today, once the traffic signal is up and running at Muscatine and Court. Couple other projects that are in the design phase right now. We've got the Taft Avenue improvements, which is the reconstruction of Taft between Loris Branch Road and American Legion Road. That's currently in design. We're working through utility relocations. We'll start this next year with construction starting in 27. Then we've got the Dodge Street reconstruction, which is the reconstruction of Dodge from Governor to Burlington. That one is also scheduled for 27 construction. And then lastly, obviously, the Burlington Street Bridge project. We are wrapping up the planning phase, the concept phase for that project, and working with our consultant, HDR, to pull together a preliminary and final design cost scope agreement with them. So hopefully get going on preliminary design here shortly. So, yeah.
Thanks. Jason?
Ned?
Troy?
Melrose Complete Streets Project. I mean, we got SDBG and Carbon Reduction CRP Group money for that. Kind of like what Scott said, we're a little behind where we wanted to be. We're still going through the acquisition of right-of-way and any easements. Hope to start undergrounding utilities next spring. I think that's probably where we are right now. We're impacted dramatically by football season, so our construction season is short, so we're hoping to have construction completed and punch list done probably by let's say December of 28 now. Only other thing we have going on is we're getting an RRF, a flashing beacon for pedestrians on Sunset at Oak Crest. That's kind of our primary crossing for elementary kids down to Ernest Horn. It's not that it sees a lot of use, but they're elementary kids. So that has been bid and approved. Just waiting probably at this point for weather to warm up a little bit to have that installed.
Nice. Kelly? Scott?
We are hoping to bid the Heartland Drive and Commerce Drive roundabout on March 3rd. That would be better known as the Southerly Driveway at Costco. So March 3rd is our target bid date on that, and that project would be substantially complete this construction season. And we're probably, you know, depending on weather, maybe a couple of months out from starting on the last phase of our Fifth Street reconstruction project, which really only involves the section of Fifth Street right in front of the Corville Public Library. So we're hoping that is short and sweet.
Is that a full closure down there, Scott?
That would be a full closure, yes. So, one more. Good. Sorry, Vicki.
I don't have anything.
I thought that was going to be your update as the closure.
Just a few things for Canvas. We are still waiting on USDOT review and approval of our LONO grant for our facility project and replacing six buses. It's been tied up in review since August of last year, so we're hoping any day now we'll hear something. We'll just keep waiting at this point. But we are essentially at 100% design for that facility, and we're ready to bid it as soon as the DOT approves that. Release of funding there for us. But a couple other projects that have made progress. We've been testing automatic passenger counters on our vehicles for the last about year and a half, and we just finished the validation and certification process on those to officially use those for our national transit database reporting, which is going to be great in our research of it and our testing of it. It's much more accurate than relying on driver counts, and we get much more detailed data out of the automatic passenger counters. So that's a great improvement for our system. And then also just in the last month, we've started the process of piloting new safety equipment on two of our vehicles. One is e-mirrors that are actually mounted inside of the vehicle and have a live video feed of what the exterior mirrors would show a driver. That's to help counteract things like weather impacting your ability to see the mirrors. It also picks up more in ambient light to see better in low light conditions. So we're excited about testing that. It also has an integrated pedestrian collision detection system, where it will actually do some warning lights and beeps and things if it's detecting a pedestrian or bicycle or vulnerable road user collision, and also detects like following distance from other vehicles. So it's just capturing a lot of safety habits and alerts drivers if it feels that there could be a collision in any of those circumstances. We also get an online dashboard that shows where the hotspots are in our service system, so it'll help us kind of evaluate not only our driver performance, but the company we got this from has said that transit agencies have also used that data to work with local city officials and others as far as, you know, maybe this intersection needs to do something different for pedestrian safety or a longer lead time for pedestrians. We're seeing a lot of pedestrian conflict at this intersection with alerts and warnings and stuff. So we just rolled out those two buses. We're doing driver training right now, but those buses are hitting the road for some driving right now, and we're excited to see the data and our driver feedback on those.
Impressive.
Similar to the university, we have Grant the Purgatory as well. It's been announced that we were an award winner in 2023, but yet we can't get to sign on the dotted line obligation with the federal government. So also at the Office of the Secretary of Transportation, I think there's 80 grants, I understand, that are in the purgatory from across the country right now. So we sit and we wait, but design and the project continues. It was for both facility and for buses. We have just got some good news. Last week we received planning approval from the FTA, so that was a major milestone. That's been 3 years in the making of working with the FTA on a minimum, a monthly basis over the course of those 3 years. So that was a big jump. We expect NEPA approval very soon. I mean, within a month, I think we need to have a 30-day comment period. So we're close to that. And that will be the last hoop we need to jump through to qualify us for obligation. And then we just need the Secretary of Transportation's, you know, green light so that we can move forward. So, but it's because of timing, you know, the funding expires in the fall. So, and the amount of time it's going to take federally to jump through the hoops, and we have an expiring contract from which we are going to order the buses off of through that grant. we have a number of complications all happening at the same time, so we've been trying to work through those. We did get some good news. Besides this older grant, which is still in question, we did get some good news this year under this administration that we received funding for 16 buses, which is incredible. Eight of them are paratransit vehicles. Eight of them are heavy-duty diesel buses. Should be the least controversial type of bus that there is out there. We are waiting for the FTA to tell us so that we can move forward with pre-award authority. That just means there's been an announcement. Usually they want you to move fast with the funds, that you've got the award notice, you could purchase them because of the status of everything federally. We're waiting to hear whether that is indeed the case anymore, or do we need to wait until we're again under obligation and we have a signed agreement with the FTA. So as to not have to create any more complex situation that we're already trying to navigate. So good news, we're waiting to move forward with the actual purchase until we get words from some good news from the FTA. But I'd say design for the transit facility also is about 30% design. We can't go past that until we get to obligations. So we're kind of at a little bit of a lull waiting to hear back from the feds. So.
And of those, you said there's 80 that are out there. Are any getting approved? Or are they all infrastructure that just is getting held up, I wonder?
Some are, some aren't.
Okay.
There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason as to why. We're just not really sure. Can't really say that it's based on quote unquote red states, blue states, anything like that. It seems like some have gone through, some have not, and we just don't know. We don't know what the criteria is that they're using. We did offer to change our propulsion type. So the buses that we had in the grant, which are, I think, part of the controversy, were electric buses. And we offered to pivot to diesel or diesel hybrid. And ultimately, we submitted a request after consultation with the FTA for a diesel hybrid vehicle versus electric, because the grant awards that just came out under this administration, zero electric buses were awarded under the low-no program, which is meant for. So it's pretty clear that, you know, electric is not what this administration wants to support financially. So we're waiting to hear back from the FTA whether they will approve our requested transmission change to diesel hybrid. And then we're hoping that is what will release the funds and then we can move forward.
Whatever kind of fuel they want, huh?
Whatever kind of fuel they want. It's really up to them. They just need to tell us which ones they want us to buy. We'll make it work. So.
Deal.
Real quick on the 380 Express bus service, two things. The DOT is committed to funding it through fiscal year 2029. It's at an 80% level instead of 100%, so some of that local match is coming from the ECOG. And then we're also wrapping up feedback on trying a new route that would loop through from Cedar Rapids to the new UI Health Center North Liberty, and then the Kirkwood campus in North Liberty. They've offered to offer their parking lot for a free public park and ride. So hopefully some folks try that out. But kind of treat it like a pilot. You know, it's the main service will stay the same, and then I'm seeing how ridership goes on there. Good luck to continue that. So that's it.
Good news.
Nia said, they're testing that automatic passenger counters. We've got, we're kind of right behind, a few years behind where they're at. So we're hoping to pilot some of those next month. So we're gonna get a couple of those on buses, and then if all goes well, we'll install them on all the buses. And it'll be huge, like Mia said, for counting, but it's also can be used to help provide not just where people are boarding the buses, but where they're getting off the buses too. And we don't have that data right now, so that'll be really helpful for us. Otherwise, Court Street, thank you for opening that up. We joke on our end that we've got several drivers that have never driven the actual Court Street route or the East Side Loop route, but they get to this week. So thanks, Scott.
For a couple months.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to talk about that yet.
Yeah.
Come on, let's just celebrate the win. So that's all I got.
Great. Joe, you want to introduce yourself quick? You'll end up working with a lot of these folks, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, my name's Joe Prey. I work with CAN Bus. My first day is today, actually. So I'll be the program and compliance coordinator.
Great.
And I previously used to work at CAMBUS as a student, and I worked for the university's Department of Transportation Department since then.
Great. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other business? Thanks, everyone, for coming. Motion to adjourn. Move second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate you coming out in the cold day.